Well, we are continuing with our sermon series in regards to the work and role of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And last week, we looked at some of those small one-syllable words that pertain to the Spirit's work and role in our sanctification process, our spiritual growth process, terms that are meant to have an eternal impact, excuse me for my throat this morning, have an eternal impact upon each one of our lives. And again, as I've said before, words like walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit and led by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit, simple English terms, and yet if we don't define those and understand those and what do those look like in our lives, that we're just speaking a bunch of Christianese to one another, and so what? So we really need to, I've discovered as the longer I've walked with Christ, that we really need to break these terms down so that we can grasp them wholeheartedly. And to grasp the transformational power that God's Holy Spirit's supposed to have in our lives is what it means to be a sanctified Christian. And without the Spirit within our lives, I would say this, the scriptures are pretty plain, we are not Christian. Without the Spirit of Christ, we are not true followers of Christ. In fact, it says, without the Spirit of God within you, it says, you do not belong to God. pretty firm, serious words there. And again, the big question that must be asked by you and me is, what does it look like to walk or to live or to be led or and eventually bear the fruit of the Spirit? Could you describe someone? Would you be able to identify a person who is being led by the Spirit and as a result is bearing fruit of the Spirit? We should be able to, according to the Scriptures. But so often I think we just kind of are haphazard in our Christian walk and development, and yet God desires to pour so much into our lives. And another absolutely necessary and crucial one-syllable word and phrase that must be defined and understood when it comes to the work and role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the word or term to be filled with the Spirit or to be full of the Spirit of God. This particular characteristic, whether you knew this or not, being filled or full of the Holy Spirit is the most prominent and the most emphasized characteristic of God's Spirit found in the entire Scripture, okay? You'll find that phrase, to be full of the Spirit or filled with the Spirit, time and time again. And when that takes place in the text, God is making a point. God is emphasizing it for a reason. So we had better pay close attention to what does that mean? What does that look like to be filled with the Spirit of God? And so our focus this morning is going to look at that particular concept. We're going to look at a variety of texts this morning. So I want you to have your Bibles ready to go. And if you don't have a Bible, again, look underneath the chairs. There should be some Bibles underneath there as well. And the goal then is basically this morning I'm going to have two goals, two questions we're going to ask of the text this morning in this particular phrase, I should say, is how is a person filled with the Holy Spirit? How does that happen? And number two, what should be the expected result of that filling, all right? Absolutely crucial to our lives, all right? If you're sitting here this morning and you claim to be a Christian, you want to have your ears perked up and understanding what is taking place this morning as the Spirit of God enters into this sanctuary and basically would fill us. And we are many times, as we would explain this as we'll go on, I mean, I don't assume anything in this morning. Some of you may be filled with the Spirit. Some of you may be not filled with the Spirit. Some of you may be born again of the Spirit. Some of you may not be born again of the Spirit of God. But we're going to break this down so this makes sense this morning. And if I was to ask you, again, it's a rhetorical question, of course, I can ask, now, how many of you this morning truly wants or readily desires to be full or filled with God's life-transforming Spirit? I would hope in this sanctuary, everybody's hands would go, yeah, yeah, You know, amen, brother. Preach it, brother. Let's have that filling. We want it. Absolutely. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, how often do we truly feel filled? Or are we being filled with the Spirit of God? Are we walking in a path in a sanctified manner because the Spirit of God is leading us and guiding us? Because and we're bearing fruit of the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit. And so, therefore, my goal and aim this morning is to get every one of us on board on that same Holy Spirit-empowered train, that we'd all be moving in the same direction. We wouldn't be off doing our own thing. We wouldn't be, you know, we're on the train, but some of us are still on the side. They're waving at us, going, oh, man, they're filled. They're going. And like, they don't care. I mean, no, we don't want that. We want to see God do a work in our midst in this church. So, again, do me a favor now. Open up your Bibles. And I'm going to read the text that I have this morning, chapter 5 of Ephesians. Everyone, please, I want to hear pages turning. And chapter 5, Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul. Again, one of his prison epistles, in a sense. It says this, I'm going to start in verse 17 and read to, 21 maybe. All right. I think I will. All right. It says this, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I would ask that, again, your Spirit would indeed control us, fill us, speak to us through this text this morning. Lord, I am asking that you would show up in a big and powerful way. And again, in spite of me, in spite of my goofy throat, my mumbling and stumbling, my poor attitude, whatever, Lord, I would ask, Lord, that you would speak, that you would do a work, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself, Lord, manifest yourself, Lord, through this text so that we would understand what it truly means, Lord God, this morning to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May we not take that for granted if we're Christians, and if there are those that are still outside of Christ, Lord, that you would fill them for the very first time. Lord, I pray that. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as we look at this particular text, just to set the table again in the big picture context, we're reading a few verses here. Again, the letter was written to the church at Ephesus and was probably distributed to other churches in that area as well. And this context here is really talking about how we are to live our lives in such a manner, how we are to walk and live our lives in such a manner for the glory of God. That's basically where this fits in this context. I mean, if you're quickly to look at it, even this chapter 5, verse, it's talking about walking properly and correctly and living properly and correctly. Verse 2 says, walk in love. Verse 8 talks about walk as children of light. As we go on, it says, verse 15, it says how not to walk, so on and so forth. And we get to this section now, talking about, again, the Holy Spirit. And so we have here again in this text too, we have four imperative commands given. And an imperative command, again, is a command by God himself. It's not optional. It's not, well, should I or shouldn't I? No, he is calling us as a church to obedience in these areas. And again, it's kind of in the format in which he does it, and you can see that in the text is these four imperative commands. It's don't and do. Don't do this, but do this, okay? Don't do this, but do this, all right? And it's found in verse 16, I should say verse 17. It says, don't be foolish, again an imperative, present imperative, but do this, but understand, a present imperative, what the will of the Lord is. And then he describes a little bit further here, because it's in the same sentence structure, that little word and is found in the original Greek in verse 18. And so what is God's will for your life? You're always wondering, what should I be doing? What's God's will for my life? I'm clueless. Here's pretty simple. Do this. Don't do this, but do this. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. That's basically excess of reckless, immoral behavior. But do this, be filled with the Spirit. All right? So again, an imperative command. Are you listening? Are you hearing from God this morning? Are you going to obey and follow through with what God would have for us? Again, none of us are going to obey anything unless, to begin with, you're filled with the Spirit of God. All right? But I want us to see some verses here, and I'm going to read a whole lot this morning. So just stay with me, because I don't want this to be my opinion or my idea. It's found in the text throughout the Scriptures about this filling of the Spirit. And there is a whole lot of verses in the Old Testament where they were filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not even going to share any of those. There's multiple verses there. I just want to read some here in the New Testament just to give a flavor here of why and what we're doing here. Luke 1:15, and look at how many people were filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptizer, Luke 1:15, you don't have to turn there necessarily. It says he's going to be great before the Lord. Again, he's not going to drink wine or strong drink. He's kind of going to be a strange guy. He's going to eat grasshoppers and wear weird clothes. But it says he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is just crazy. Even from his mother's womb, it says, John the Baptizer. Luke 1, 41-42, talking about Elizabeth. And she is pregnant with John in her womb here. And it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happens after she's filled, it says she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb." Speaking of Mary, who was pregnant at the time. Luke 1:67, John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the result here? He prophesied. Luke 4:1, Jesus, it says, was full. How is that? Isn't that weird? Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit? All right. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And Acts is just filled with this. And they were all filled, Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, again at Pentecost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? They were speaking forth what? The words of God. In Acts, same chapter, chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. They were accusing them, this is a great section, of these apostles that were preaching the word in an unknown language that they had never known before. They were hearing the language in their own native tongues. And these people they were saying, hey, these guys are just drunk, all right? Again, they're just filled with wine, whatever. They're just controlled by something else. And Peter rebukes them. He says, no, it's too early in the morning to begin with to be drunk. And they're not drunk with wine. They're filled basically with the Holy Spirit is what he tells them. And the prophet Joel prophesied about that. Acts 4:8, Peter said, again, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter speaks. A great sermon. 4:31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 9:17-20. Again, Ananias is the one who lays hands on the brother Saul at the time, who becomes the apostle Paul. And he says this, "The Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road by which you came. He has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." All right? And then those scales fell off of his eyes. He regained his sight. I'd like to have been there for that one. Acts 6:3, it says, again, when they're picking out faithful men, I'll call them deacons in the early church here. It says here that they were picking out faithful men of good repute, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Acts 6:5 says this, and they're It pleased the whole gathering, and again they chose another person, Stephen. All right, Stephen. How do you spell your name? Oh, but you pronounce it a little bit differently. I'm going to call you Stephen from now on. All right, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Mom. I'm kidding. All right. It says this. They chose Stephen, again, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:55. Again, this is talking about Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And of course, that was when Stephen was stoned, the first martyr, full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, it says, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Saul, again, the Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples, it says in Acts 13:52, were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah talks about, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit, speaking of Jesus Christ, prophesying about the Messiah to come, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He goes on to speak more about who Christ was. Again, obvious, emphasized time and time and time again, the filling of God's Spirit. So this morning I want us to consider two aspects or two descriptions or two considerations of a Spirit-filled life, is what I've said earlier on in this sermon. And the first one is, how is a person then filled by the Spirit of God? As we go back to our original text here in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Again, it says this. It says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is, again, debauchery or reckless, immoral behavior, but be filled with the Spirit. And again, that it's important to understand, and I'm not trying to, oh, boy, he knows Greek, and what's the verb tense? Well, it's important to know the verb tense here because of that filling. What is it in the, is it, the voice here is a passive voice, all right? Meaning that God is the one who is actively involved in your filling, all right? So it's God who is at work there. And yet, again, it's in the present tense, meaning, in a sense, it's a keep on keeping on presently being filled, being controlled by the Spirit of God, all right? And again, it's an imperative command. it's funny. So when God commands something and God says he's going to do it, guess what? He's going to do it. But yet, there's a role that we play in a part of just allowing God to fill our lives and surrendering to him. And yet, God, how does he do that? If I was there, how does God do that? What does that look like? How are you and I filled with the Spirit of God? Again, I'm hoping this morning you want to be filled. And that filling is a great word. It's filled up to the brim. It's like overflowing. Just it's you can't cram in anymore. You're full. You're just full of the Spirit. And yet God chooses to use his ordinary means of grace, his sovereign means of grace in which to fill us by and with. Simple. And yet so often we make it difficult for us. He tells us that his word fills us with his Spirit in a sense. His word and gospel, prayer is one of those means of grace. Worship. The sacraments, believe it or not, are the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. God promises to be present. In fact, if you read the scripture and get the big context, both in old and new, the psalmist, the apostles, the prophets of old, they always wanted to know, always wanted to know, where God would be found, all right? Where is God present, okay? Now, that should be our delight as well. Where do we find God? And if you find God, guess what? God promises to show up in a big way and to fill you. And that's why so often the psalmist writes about he can't wait to be in the presence of God, to be filled with God, to be filled with his presence. And again, Colossians 3:16, if you want to flip over to that one, it's a wonderful, wonderful verse. It's one that I've shared before. It's one that you could probably memorize. But it's identical in its original Greek context structure in the original language. It says this, like the Spirit is to fill us. And what happens then? It says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians says this, instead of the Spirit, it says, let the Word of Christ basically fill you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Again, giving glory to God in verse 17. Identical structure as we find in Ephesians. And I believe this, with most scholars play this out, that if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be consumed with God's Word. We need to be consumed with the things that God promises to fill us with. I have memory cards. I keep these in my car. I've been doing this for years. And it just caught my attention, so I thought I'd bring these. But it's an amazing way as we see the emphasis of God's Word and how that brings a filling. Jesus in John 15:11, this is one of my verses. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Again, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be full. All right? He's speaking to his apostles. Jesus speaks truth. Jesus speaks these living words, and it's supposed to fill them with joy. Later on in John 17:13, but now I am coming to you in these things. He's speaking of coming to his Father. In these things I speak in the world that they, who? The apostles again, his disciples, that they may have my joy fulfilled or full in themselves. Again, God's word brings a fulfillment, a fullness. And we could go on and on. 1 John 1:4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete, full. Absolute. It's wonderful. And I just found more and more verses on this and the importance of Christ's word in our lives and these means of grace as gospel and so on and so forth and prayer. And so I would say this, if you're not spending time in God's word, you're not going to be filled, all right? If you're not consistent in your prayer life, you will not have a spirit-filled life. I would tell you that. If Christ and his gospel is not continuously on your mind and thoughts and on your lips, don't expect your life to be filled up with God. If you're not serving God and others on an everyday, regular basis, you will not be filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying that every second of the day we got to be, no, but if you should have that heart, that attitude, that mindset that, you know, I'm here for God. I'm here for the glory of God. And what does it look like to be full? The thing that comes to my mind, I mean, in our culture, we celebrate a particular holiday. It's called Thanksgiving, all right? And I don't know about you, but on the Irish Doherty clan side of my family, they have a large family, and they put on a feast. I mean, everything you can imagine is on the table, and to the point where you want to say, man, we're almost, are we gluttons? And yet every year we'll show up, and do you guys, I don't know, some of you do this, Thanksgiving meals, and you eat, and you eat, and you eat, and you eat, and you do rounds, and then you go watch a few football games, and then you come back, and you eat some more, and you eat some more. And then Grandma Doherty will make her, famous pumpkin pie, and then Kate will bring some apple pie, and others will bring some, my favorite, rhubarb, strawberry rhubarb, whatever. And then we're just stuffed, and they go, so who wants pie? And you think, who would want pie? But we all take it, right?
and we cram it in, and then we sit around, and here's what's so funny about us as humans, you know? We cram it in, and we sit around, and we go, oh, you know, and the great uncle loosens up his belt, and his belly hangs out, you know? Come on, Uncle Darby, you know, put, the, you know, whatever, but, you know, and yet, and then we brag about how much we've eaten, you know? And then we complain about how full we are. It's a funny thing about us. And yet, have you ever noticed, and I pray you have, but have you ever noticed that when God does something for us, he never short suits us. He never compromises. Have you noticed that? He never holds back. God is never scarce or inadequate or insufficient. He is always overwhelming and abundant and full when he chooses to bestow to us his saving graces, his benefits, his favor, and mercies. Have you noticed? Have you ever noticed? I mean, read the text. Our triune Lord always seems to pour it on thick and heavy and profuse and plentiful. Have you seen that? Have you experienced that? And so when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he wants us full and filled up and overflowing with his Spirit. And if you just stop to think about that, that God's Spirit resides within you and wants to and desires to fill us with himself. And it's not a partial filling. You'll never find this in the text when it comes to God. Please pay attention to this because this is overwhelming. This should knock your socks off. This is craziness. But our God shows up all the time in this powerful way. It's never a partial filling, all right? Jesus doesn't hand out or give out increments of partial here. Have a little partial peace. Have a little partial hope. Have a little bit of forgiveness. You never find that in the text. Jesus is not kind of or sort of committed to us. It's the full thing when it comes to Christ. His mercies are not new once a year or every 6 months or once in a while. They're new when? Every single morning, it says. God's love isn't conditional. If you're nice to me, I just might be nice back to you. Jesus didn't die a horrible death on a cross in order to give us temporal and mediocre life. All right? No, he said, I give you eternal life and abundant life. Abundant life. When Jesus fed in the Gospels, you know the story, the 5,000 men, it says, plus women and children, 10,000 total probably at least, with a couple of fish and chips, he didn't feed 2,180. He didn't feed 3,960. He didn't say to the crowds, you know what? Why don't you come back later and we'll try to see if we can pick up some Happy Meals somewhere. You know, none of that. None of that. In fact, he's fed everyone, it says in the text, to the point that everyone there, be it 10,000 or more, were completely full and satisfied. And then to make a point and emphasize his abundant, overflowing fullness is found only in him, what do they have? Leftover. 12 baskets full of leftovers. Again, we just see this glorious, wonderful God who desires to fill us with everything of him. And there's so many verses. If you just did a, I don't know if you have a Bible search thing, but just look at the word filled, full, fullness, filling, whatever, in the scriptures, and look at what you'll find. It's always God pouring it on. And so when we convince ourselves in our tiny little minds that God isn't enough, or his promises are insufficient, or he really doesn't have our very best in mind, we are at that given moment grieving the Spirit of God. All right? And we do it all the time. And if I was to ask you, what do you desire to be filled with? What are you presently filled with? What is it that is presently controlling your life? And that's what this text is ultimately speaking about. What is it that controls your life? What is it where your focus is found? God knows full well that if you're not being filled with Him in His presence, we're being filled with something else. If it isn't God and it isn't what God says you should be filling yourself with, then something else will take that place. It's a given. And I tell you, if it's not focused on God and His gospel and everything that He has for us for the sake of His glory, it is basically a horrible waste of time. And yet we continually do that. If anything else fills us, other than what God tells us should fill us and control us, we then become basically, hot air of idolatry. We become just these windbags of false worship. We have become lovers of this, what I would call fake fulfillment, instead of lovers and worshipers of the one and only Jesus Christ. Do you see what He wants for us? We can have so much. One of the great illustrations to that story, but I can use it as an illustration here, is Jesus Christ. We know your Bibles have a little title above in your text that says, Jesus cleanses the temple, all right? We know that Jesus did it a couple times in His ministry. Early on in His ministry and late the last week of His life when He comes into Jerusalem just before He's going to be crucified, He goes into the great temple of Jerusalem. And what does He do? He cleanses the temple. It says in one scenario he makes a whip and he drives them out, and He's flipping over the tables and so on and so forth, and he has what I would call righteous indignation. And God is one who can get that down and do it right. Jesus is one who had some righteous anger. And He says what? He says, this, my house is supposed to be what? A house of what? Of prayer. And He says, you've made it into what? A robber's den. And again, why did he come in and cleanse the temple? Why? Because it was filled with things that it should not have been filled with. Amen? That's the reason. It was filled with corruption and consumerism and illegal profiteering. And beloved, guess what? The temple is no longer, God is no longer present in the temple. Today, the scriptures tell us very plainly, today, where is the temple? You and I are the temple of God. Where the people gather, we are the temple. It's an amazing, just amazing truth. And so He comes now and He fills His temple with His Holy Spirit. He fills you and I with His Spirit. And He asks us to get rid of these things, this, be it consumerism, be it what sin, be it what idolatry. We need to clear the house in a sense so that God can fill us. And it's so important that we understand what idols need to be removed from our lives. And again, ultimately, listen to this, please. Ultimately, all of this comes by and is appropriated by what? A faith and trust in Christ and His promises. As we put our faith and trust in God and His promises, that's the key to unlock the floodgates of God's filling us up with all of Himself. I don't know about you, but I want that. I so desire that. I want to see you filled. I want to see you just excited and exuberant and ecstatic about the things of Jesus Christ. It is so crucial that we understand that. So let's look at the next consideration. That's how we're filled. What is the expected result of being filled with the Spirit? Well, here's what we find in the text. They're filled with the Spirit, and what's the result, it says? Well, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks. This is happy feet here. You know, isn't this great news? This is what, the result is what? Filling of the Spirit should result in an exuberance of praise and worship and glory and thanksgiving to God Almighty. It's what we see in the text and all those other verses. Another one of the results is, soon as they're filled, or they're filled with the Spirit, what happens? They go forth and they speak and they talk and they explain and they preach and they proclaim Christ. It's on their tongue. It's on their lips. It's in their conversation. They can't get enough of Jesus. They can't stop talking about Jesus. Does that describe you and I? Do we go forth from here and say, you know, I'm about Jesus? Do people know that you even know Jesus? Do people even know that you might be born again by the Spirit of God? We must be filled so that we can proclaim this glorious and awesome God. Paul said, I am unashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to change lives to those that would believe. It is so important. And what happens when we're filled with the Spirit of God? Guess what? Again, the work of the Spirit does this. He gives us a new heart. He gives us new desires. He gives to us new attitudes and longings and excitement and energies and love for Jesus Christ and His gospel. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospels, do you hear that? It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Again, that full joy. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I just love that. I just love that. God gives to us a new excitement. He changes our taste buds to the point that we taste and see that the Lord is so very, very good. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, it says this. I love this. Jesus, again, stands up. It's on the last day of the feast, the great day. Jesus stood up and cried out, all right? He shouts forth in front of these great crowds of people. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes, again, that faith aspect, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow. Now this he said about the Spirit. He's speaking about the Spirit. Does this describe you? Are you hungry and thirsty for God? Isaiah 51 says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and wealth without price. Does that describe you? Are you in need? Because if you're not in need, you're not ever going to be thirsty. If you're not in need, you're never going to be hungry for God. If this doesn't describe you poor and destitute, needing a Savior to fill you with all of Himself, you're not going to come. The Spirit and the Bride say in Revelation 22, 17, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Isaiah 25, 6, on the mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow of aged wine, well-refined. Beloved, we are so... We've been so programmed to enjoy junk food when He just wants to give us so much. And if you contemplate how great and big and transcendent and awesome and big and powerful God is, you'll see how what a delight and what a joy He is. Psalm 63, 3 to 5 says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you.
So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I'll lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. To be filled with the Spirit. And this is the crazy thing. On Thanksgiving, I'm stuffed. I don't want any more. I really am. It's gross almost. But with the Spirit, it says, to be filled with the Spirit is to be plumb full, completely satisfied, and yet continually always wanting more. You can't get enough. That's such good news. We should be a people with an insatiable appetite for God. Amen? Shouldn't that not be us? I pray that God's Spirit would fill us. And we would see the result of that filling, that He's the one who creates in us this new found desire and appetite for Him and for Him alone. Let's pray. Blessed Father, may we be a people of your word. May we be a people of prayer. May we be a people of service in your gospel, so that you would fill us with all of who you are. May we realize how much you have to offer, how much you want to give, how exuberant you are, and what pleasure you derive from just pouring it on, Lord. Overflowing, living waters, bubbling forth, pouring out, spilling forth. Oh God, I pray that that filling of your Spirit would take place in this church and in your community, because we are being that salt and light. We can't keep it any longer to ourselves. Lord, may we read these texts and not say, okay, I've heard this before. This is boring. But may we read these scriptures and realize that it is God who is speaking, God who is encouraging, the living God of the galaxies, desiring to fill us with his presence. Oh, Jesus, do make a difference. May you control us. May we surrender to you. May you fill us. Again, you never short-suit us. You never give us garbage. You never offer us a snake. You give us bread, the bread of life. Thank you, Jesus. And may we feast on you. In Jesus' name, amen.